Welcome to Onc Live On Air. In today's episode, we pass the mic to Tara E. Seary, MD, who moderated an Onc Live Insights discussion on the future of the pancreatic cancer treatment paradigm. Rounding out the discussion with additional expert perspectives were Paul E. Oberstein, MD, and Priya Pathak, MBBS. In this exclusive conversation, Seary, Oberstein, and Pathak highlighted key data from the Phase 3 NAPOLI 3 trial of NALIRIFOX versus nab-paclitaxel and gemcitabine in treatment-naive patients with metastatic pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma, the toxicity profiles of NALIRIFOX and FOLFIRINOX, real-world data with these regimens, and more.
Hello and welcome to this Onc Live Insights program, live from ASCO 2025. This session is titled Insights from ASCO 2025, What's Next for Pancreatic Cancer? I'm Dr. Seary. I'm the Director of Hepatobiliary Cancer and a GI Medical Oncologist at Hoag Family Cancer Institute.
Hello, my name is Paul Oberstein. I'm also a GI Medical Oncologist and the Section Chief of GI Oncology at NYU Langone in New York City. It's great to be here.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Priya Pathak. I'm a GI Medical Oncologist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston.
Can you make and describe to us the big differences between the NAPOLI 3, which led to the NALIRIFOX, and the PRODIGE 4, which led to the FOLFIRINOX, kind of the big differences within those trials?
So these two trials, you know, they're around 15 years apart. So that's one big difference, right? 10 or 15 years. Both trials looked at metastatic patients, metastatic pancreas cancer patients untreated in the metastatic setting. The PRODIGE 4 trial was, you know, obviously earlier, it was limited to a more select group of sites within one country, essentially. But they were metastatic. You know, they excluded patients who were 76, I think, and up. I think 75 was the upper limit. And so there were, you know, fewer, there were obviously no patients above that number, but I'd say a slightly younger skew in the study. And of course, the key thing is that the comparison in that study was gemcitabine alone, right? And that study showed, as you said before, survival benefit from FOLFIRINOX. So in contrast, the NAPOLI trial, as I said, was a decade later, and didn't have a limit on age. So there were patients who were included above the age of 75, including, I think the oldest was 85, if I'm correct.
And you can see some really fit elderly.
Correct, 100%. Yeah. And the comparison, of course, in that study was gem and nab-paclitaxel, not gemcitabine alone. But I would say, unlike the earlier PRODIGE trial, it was a larger, more global, more general population involved in the study. So much more heterogeneous group of patients, both for the treatment and for managing side effects that makes an impact. But outside of that, you know, the regimens are quite similar. There was modifications in the dosage of oxaliplatin and 5-FU compared to the original one. But, you know, the schedule otherwise for patients was quite similar.
Yeah. And the original FOLFIRINOX, I don't think any of us use. It was challenging. All of us have now used the modified version with a slightly lower of the rate.
Nobody can tolerate a full dose of FOLFIRINOX.
I'm impressed with those patients that initially enrolled.
I agree.
And so Dr. Pathak, so at ASCO, there was an update on the NAPOLI 3.
Yeah.
What were your takeaways from that? And who were these patients that really responded?
This update really looked at who were the long-term responders. And it was a small subset. I believe it was like 20 patients. And the mean and overall survival in this population was higher. It was like 18 to 19 months compared to the 11.1 months seen in the overall subset. Yeah, which is more than half a year, which, you know, which is great in the pancreatic cancer world. And the profile of these patients who lived longer is what we would expect, right? They were younger patients and they were fitter patients and had lower levels of CA19-9. So probably a lower disease burden. And I think, you know, it's what we would expect that the younger, fitter patients live longer. And the reason is they can tolerate treatment for longer. And I believe in that abstract that they receive treatment for a longer duration.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Oberstein at ASCO GI this past year, they also talked about those who could stay on longer with dose modifications and hold. What's your opinion on this? And do you do that?
Yeah, so I think that abstract at GI ASCO was very much a rep, you know, they showed the same kind of trend in the one yesterday about long-term survivors. And basically the message there, which I think is very similar to what we see in practice, is that if we modify the doses and we can keep patients on longer, they're going to sometimes do better. And so it really, I would say that's our practice. It gives us a lot of reinforcement to do that, which is that the key thing here is not necessarily being too strong, too aggressive on day one. It's keeping patients on treatment if it's working, right? And I think for a large number of patients, it is working. We get a high response rate. And the question then becomes, how do you stay on trial, or not on trial, how do you stay on treatment outside of a trial? And what they showed in GI ASCO was that with dose modifications in both liposomal irinotecan and oxaliplatin, patients who were able to modify and stay on trial seem to do much better.
And it's interesting because when you see patients and you tell them, I'm going to reduce your dose or I have to delay you a week, some of them get very upset. So now you can say, oh, no, the data shows you actually do better. Well, we can do this.
Yeah, I actually always tell my patients it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that kind of helps them visualize what they're looking at.
Now, Nalirafox versus modified FOLFIRINOX. Yeah. What do you think are the main differences in toxicity?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that's the key point that helps us make a decision of one versus the other. I don't think there'll ever be a trial directly comparing Nalirafox and FOLFIRINOX. We would like to see it, but I don't think there will be one. So one point we already alluded to was the neuropathy, right? Neuropathy is one of the strongest and more lingering side effects of FOLFIRINOX. So with Nalirafox, neuropathy will be better because the oxaliplatin dose that's used is lower, yeah. Right? It's 50 milligram per meter square versus the 85 that we use in FOLFIRINOX. And also in the trial, when they compared it to gemabraxane, the neuropathy rates were low. You'll see more diarrhea likely with Nalirafox. Because it's liposomal irinotecan, pharmacokinetically, it lingers in the circulation longer and therefore can cause more diarrhea.
And I think patient education in that is so key.
Yeah.
Making sure that patients are active when they do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the third point I would make is in the Napoli, when they compared Nalirafox and gemabraxane, the neutropenia rates were lower with Nalirafox. But I think FOLFIRINOX and Nalirafox, it's going to be similar.
And for me, I typically always give growth factor.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
It's kind of a moot point in my mind.
Yes. But
for those whose insurance won't allow it.
Right. And that's becoming an increasing problem lately. Yeah, I'm surprised that that is a problem. But unfortunately, that's what we're facing in the real world.
Yeah. Now, another issue to talk about is UGT1A1. So remember, this is the enzyme needed to metabolize irinotecan. And at ASCO GI, they discussed that in regards to the Napoli trial and Onivyde per se. Well, what's your, number one, do you check it? And does this influence what regimen you use?
So I would say in general, we don't check it unless we have some prior concern for a patient or they have a very unexpected toxicity. Thankfully for us, the abstract sort of validated that. So the abstract at GI ASCO looked at, you know, they did not necessarily check it before treatment or just doses based on UGT1A1. I think around 10 or 12% of patients were homozygous for UGT1A1, and they did not find significantly different toxicity in that group. It was a small subset. I think it speaks to the fact that the dose given overall in the Nalirafox of all the drugs is not the highest dose that we've ever given. And we're really already starting off a little bit modified. I would say in our experience, just to the last point of neutropenia, we certainly see a lot less neutropenia with Nalirafox than with gem nab-paclitaxel, which is what they showed in the study. It's hard to know with FOLFIRINOX, especially if you had modified the doses of FOLFIRINOX. But I think the fact that we're giving modified doses sort of allows us to give it to even people with UGT1A1 abnormalities and then adjust things based on tolerability.
No, you know, I too normally don't routinely check it up front. I did another discussion with some other physicians and their institutions did run it, but they said it took quite a few days turnaround time to get it. So now knowing if you're going to use Nalirafox, you don't even need to check it, which really helps. So there are also a few abstracts that were discussing kind of real world data. And what was your takeaway from either FOLFIRINOX, Napoli?
Yeah. So real world data is tricky, right? Because it's not randomized data. You can't change practice based off of real world data. You take it with a pinch of salt. when I looked at a couple of abstracts that compared the intention to treat population arm from the Napoli trial and looked at Nalora Fox and then compared it to real world FOLFIRINOX, maybe there was a small numerical benefit leaning towards Nalora Fox. But once again, I would take this with a pinch of salt. Because when you, once again, cross-trial comparisons, not good, but the overall survival was exactly identical with Nalora Fox and FOLFIRINOX, 11.1 months, right? So we need a direct comparison randomized trial to really make that conclusion, but we're not going to get one.
And I'm using it even very elderly patients. I don't know about 90, but above 80, we're using, you know, we're comfortable using certainly Nalora Fox with modified dosing.
Okay. And so when you're starting someone in second line, kind of what's your goals of care discussion? How much does that change versus the first line?
At that point, quality of life discussion is very important. I think that if the patient is in favor of continuing treatment and is actually getting benefit in terms of clinical symptoms, which is very important, right? Like pain, energy levels, if these are better on treatment and the patient chooses to continue, got gemcitabine Abraxane in the first line.
Yeah.
And then we have trial data showing improved overall survival compared to placebo in the second line, right? So in that case, I would definitely go for 5-FU with Onivyde, the second line. And as long as it's benefiting the patient, keep going.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's kind of a universal thing. We have to start thinking about quality of life and making sure that they benefit from the treatment. As I say, I'm not giving treatment to keep you bedbound. I'm giving you treatment to live life.
Yes.
And so it's finding that fine balance between the two. Can you kind of walk us through a little bit the Napoli 1 data? So that's the data, you know, that led to the approval of the second line, 5-FU and Onivyde.
Yeah, the Napoli 1 trial was a randomized trial for second line pancreas cancer, metastatic pancreas patients who had gemcitabine-based therapy in first line. So they could not have received prior 5-FU or certainly not FOLFIRINOX. And they were randomized to a few. There were actually three different groups, but the two that were primarily compared were a group that got 5-FU and leucovorin alone and a group that got 5-FU leucovorin plus liposomal irinotecan or Onivyde. And essentially it showed that the combination of Onivyde and 5-FU led to, you know, better outcomes, better survival ultimately, which ultimately led to FDA approval, better response rate, better progression-free survival. So certainly led to better outcomes with more toxicity. So there certainly was more intestinal toxicity, more low blood counts, more infections in the combination. It used a pretty high dose of Onivyde as well, but certainly led to an improvement in overall survival. And I would say that study, you know, there hasn't really been another study in second-line pancreas cancer that has shown, you know, that kind of clear survival benefit. So that's sort of what we rely on a lot in the appropriate patient.
Okay. And do you want to comment on any similarities or differences in when you put a patient in second line with 5-FU and Onivyde?
Similarities compared to first line? Yeah. If the patient got gemcitabine Abraxane in the first line, then, you know, the patient typically would have some comorbidities, maybe was a frailer to begin with, and that's why they didn't warrant a triplet regimen, right? So I think that's the key point.
Yeah. No, you are correct. It's kind of one of those things when they start with a doublet, and sometimes it's because they say, I want better quality of life. And to be honest, sometimes the gemabraxane first line doesn't necessarily give a better quality of life compared to a triplet. And so some patients say, it's just as hard, you know, but...
I think the response rate is higher with a triplet. So I think that would help contribute to a better quality of life if you have tumor shrinkage.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onc Live On Air.